Today is day 10 of our preparation for total consecration, and we'll dig more deeply into the idea of the Immaculate Conception. Stay right where you are, because it's coming up now. Hey there, welcome to the program. Happy Sunday to everyone. Great to be here with you once again on Blog Talk Radio. Yes, believe it or not, today is day 10 of our 33-day preparation for total consecration, so we're about a third of the way through this. Isn't that amazing? It seems like we just started, and I want to say something. I've done this for, this is the fifth year that we've done it on the program here. I think we have got the best and most observant crowd so far, so that is a credit to you, because I'll tell you what, the questions that I'm getting are tremendous. I just feel very special about this year's group of people going through to total consecration. I got a question yesterday. We're going to tackle it in a few minutes about the, and this is something that I was concerned about, to be honest with you, as I said this, the fact that this is a quick, easy, and secure way to holiness. When we use the word easy, it almost seems like we're taking a shortcut, doesn't it? It almost seems like we're doing something that we really shouldn't be doing, because spirituality shouldn't be that easy, should it? And I really want to address this, because I know exactly, if you're thinking that, I know exactly where you're coming from. That is a very good point. And we'll talk about it, and I'll explain why I do think it's good for this to be an easy way, all right? There is a reason, and I think it's very important. Today, we will look at, for day 10, we'll look at the second part of St. Maximilian Kolbe's idea of the Immaculate Conception. Mary said to St. Bernadette when she appeared to her in Lourdes, "I am the Immaculate Conception," not "I was immaculately conceived." So St. Maximilian really dug into this, and we're going to try to continue to go along with, to explore his line of thought about that. And also, today is Sunday, so since I have this other matter that I want to talk about, we're not going to get all of the readings in, but I want to read the gospel from today's Mass, because it's a good one, and it really reminds us of something powerful. If you're new to the program, welcome. I'm so glad you could join us. My name is Gary Zimek. We normally do this show every Monday through Friday on Blog Talk Radio, but for the duration of our 33-day total consecration retreat, as we prepare to make our total consecration to Jesus through Mary on October the 7th, we're going right through the weekend. So we're doing 33 days in a row, and that will help us to better prepare to make our total consecration. If you have any questions at all about any of the material that we discuss, any of the ideas that we go over, always feel free to email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. And I really want to thank you for some of the best emails that I've ever gotten this year. And it really shows that you're paying attention, that you're serious about this. And you know what? That inspires me. So you're inspiring me, and I thank you for that. I love doing this, because not only am I helping you, I mean, so you're telling me I'm helping you, and I really appreciate that. That's great. That's my role here. But you're helping me. You're helping me more than you think you are. You're helping me as I go through my preparation to renew my total consecration. You're helping me to realize some of these concepts. And because you ask questions, you make me dig more deeply into them to answer your questions. So therefore, it helps me. And today we will talk about this idea of total consecration being easy. Is it too easy? Is that not a good thing? That's what we're going to discuss. So let's pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for allowing us to have another day. We're very grateful that you have allowed us to have this day. We thank you for the many blessings in our lives. We ask you to continue to guide us, to be with us by our side as we strive to grow closer to you. We ask you, Father, to bless us and our family members, all of those around us. Help us always to be able to do your will, and help us to have the strength, the fortitude necessary to continue going throughout this 33-day preparation period. Father, we ask you to help us have a greater appreciation for our Blessed Mother Mary. Help us to be able to trust her more, knowing that she will lead us to your Son, Jesus. And I ask you, Father, to take over this show for me, to send your Holy Spirit to work through me so that your words may come forth from my mouth. And please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. We now turn to our Blessed Mother Mary and ask for her help, her intercession, as together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us. And Saint Louis de Montfort, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Okay, beverage du jour today. Got a bit of a different one. Here we go. Oh, that's good. I've got a nice cold glass of Coke with some ice today. That's my beverage du jour. I don't normally go with the sodas for the beverage du jour, but I was having some for lunch, so this is what's left over. That's my beverage today. I hope wherever you are, you're able to have a beverage, a snack, and get comfortable, because we got lots of good things to talk about on the program. First thing I want to address, this came in to me from an email, a question about this, talking about total consecration as being an easy and quick and secure way to holiness. Doesn't that sound like we're taking a shortcut? Now, by the way, these words are Father Michael Gately's words, and When I first had to say this, when I said, and this was day seven's material, that this is a quick, easy, and secure way to holiness, those words, they kind of stick in my throat a little bit, because there's something about that bothers me, the fact that this is easy. But let me try to explain a little bit in more detail why that's not necessarily a bad thing. The first thing is you've got to know Father Gately to understand this concept of things being easy. Father Gately is someone who's completely transparent. He's a very honest person. I had him on the show a couple of years ago to talk about this total consecration. And he'll be the first to tell you that he's not someone throughout his life who has been able to stick to things. And in his first book, Consoling the Heart of Jesus, which we did as a Lenten retreat on the radio program one year, Father talks about, and I can really relate to this, when we look at these super saints, we look at some saints and we think, wow, they really had to endure some tremendous things, and they had such incredible powers of self-denial. They were able to deny themselves of these basic necessities of life, and they could live in extreme cold without food. And we look at them and we think, wow, they're so unlike me, because I'm so weak, I could never be as holy as them. And what happens is we look at them and we start to feel, why bother? Why should I even try to become holy? Because I can't do it. I'm too weak. I've fallen too many times. And as a result, we can easily give up. And giving up on becoming a saint is basically saying that I'm content going to hell for all eternity. That's how serious it is, because we're called to be saints. We may not be canonized saints, but we're called to live in heaven. That's our destiny. That's why we were created. So if that doesn't happen, and I'm not trying to be a downer here, but it's the absolute truth. If that doesn't happen, if I don't make it to heaven, my life was a failure. It doesn't matter how much money I earned. It doesn't matter how highly thought of I was. It doesn't even matter how many people I helped. If I don't make it to heaven, my life was a failure. So the last thing we need is to become discouraged, thinking we're not good enough to become holy. Guess what? Here's a newsflash. We're not good enough to become holy, but there is help. The Lord wants to help us, because none of us can make it to heaven on our own. We get to heaven because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross and because of the graces that he gives us. That's the only reason we can make it to heaven. So when we start to think I'm not good enough, that's a reality check. We're not good enough. But with his help, you see, this is where it gets really cool. With his help, it is possible for even a really notorious sinner such as myself, and someone who's very apathetic and lazy, it's possible for me to get to heaven. When Father Gately talks about this easy way to get to heaven, easy way to become holy, certainly what we're being asked to do is not easy. It's not easy for us with our fallen human nature to be able to deny ourselves. It's not easy for me to be nice to people that are not nice to me. It's not easy. It's very hard. And I failed at it many, many times, even with the grace that the Lord wants to give me. I failed at it constantly. This way is easy because with the Blessed Mother's help, somebody who's not very strong, like me, can suddenly find it possible to do the things that I'm being called to do, such as sticking to my prayer life, such as being nice to people that I don't like, such as overcoming these habits, these sinful habits that I have in my life. With the Blessed Mother's help, it becomes a lot easier than if I didn't have her help. That's what this total consecration does. Now, if you're like me, you might start to think, well, if it's too easy, then I'm not getting the merit that I'm supposed to out of this, because I need to be fighting. I need to be struggling. I need to be trying to overcome these bad habits. And yes, we do. But what happens is, with so many of us, we feel we need to struggle and fight all by ourselves. And we fail to ask for the Lord's help. If you're somebody like me, or Father Gately, as he would say, we're weak. We need a lot of help from the Lord, because otherwise we're going to completely crumble and fall apart. So what happens is, when we made our total consecration, we're getting these graces that the Blessed Mother is helping us to attain. We're getting these graces, and our holiness, our becoming holy, our fighting against our sinful habits is becoming almost easy. And as a result, we might feel like, well, this isn't right. It shouldn't be this easy. But here's the example that I would give. I happen to love going to Mass. I go to daily Mass now. I used to really dislike going to Sunday Mass because I was bored. Now, I make no secret of this, I was a very lukewarm Catholic for most of my life. I was very bored for week after week, but I would go knowing that it's the right thing to do. I'm getting the same amount of merit now because I'm going to my Sunday Mass and I'm going to daily Masses too. The merit doesn't decrease just because I enjoy it. That's important to remember. I don't like clothes shopping. So how about this? How about if I said, well, since I enjoy Sunday Mass so much, that's too easy. I want to do something really difficult. So instead of going to Sunday Mass, I'm going to go clothes shopping every Sunday, or furniture shopping, or all these things that I find really unpleasant. I'm going to do that instead because it's more painful. That's a big mistake. It's also a sin because I'm obliged as a Catholic to go to Mass on Sunday. The fact that I like it doesn't take away the merit from it. And I think that's where we get hung up. We start trying to serve God in the way that we want to serve Him. And we can take this to the extreme and start to think, well, that's, it's painful. This isn't right. And people get themselves into a lot of trouble by thinking this way. They get involved in relationships that aren't good either. Because some really holy people start to think that unless they're suffering, they're not doing God's will, which is wrong. You don't go looking for suffering. God gives you plenty of suffering in the course of your lives. You don't need to look for extra suffering. If He wants you to suffer, that suffering will enter into your life. So we need to remember that, and we need to understand that the fact that this is called easy by Father Gately really makes it accessible to many of us who would otherwise look at a 33-day devotion and say, forget it. Forget it. This is way too tough. I just don't have what it takes. I can't do this. But the fact that he says it's easy makes many of us start to think, well, maybe I can do this. That's the point. Now, just let me read quickly, because this is a great question. I'm so glad that I'm getting questions like this, because I can explain things like this. Father Gately, and these are the words of St. Louis de Montfort. Now, listen to this. We read this already, but I really want to read it again. It is quite true that the most faithful servants of the Blessed Virgin being also her greatest favorites, receive from her the greatest graces and favors of heaven, which are crosses. But I maintain that it is also the servants of Mary who carry these crosses with more ease, more merit, and more glory. That which would stay the progress of another 1,000 times over, or perhaps would make him fall, does not once stop their steps, but rather enables them to advance, because that good mother, all full of grace and of the unction of the Holy Spirit, prepares her servants' crosses with so much maternal sweetness and pure love as to make them gladly acceptable, no matter how bitter they may be in themselves. So in other words, even if you're getting extra crosses, extra suffering in your life, the Blessed Mother is helping you to accept it and to deal with it, and you almost don't feel it. I know that's hard to believe, but that's what happens. Now, do you want to do it the hard way so that you feel it, so that you're in complete misery, or do you want the cross to be light? And this is the paradox of Christianity. When you follow Christ, what did he say? Pick up your cross. That's today's gospel. He didn't say pick up your cross and suffer horribly. He said pick up your cross, deny yourself, follow me. And he didn't append to that and you're going to hate it because you'd be so miserable. Jesus promised us rest. All of us who labor and are heavy burdened, if we follow him, he'll give us rest. Can a cross, can suffering, can a 33-day preparation period that requires us to spend 30 minutes a day, can that actually be peaceful? The answer is yes, and this is why we get the help. St. Louis de Montfort said, it's just as a person would not be able to eat unripe fruits without a great effort, which he could hardly keep up unless they had been preserved in sugar. Now think about that. That's amazing. St. Louis de Montfort also said, as there are secrets of nature by which natural operations are performed more easily, in a short time and at so little cost, so also there are secrets in the order of grace by which supernatural operations, such as ridding ourselves of self, filling ourselves with God, and becoming perfect, are performed more easily. Just because they're easy doesn't mean the merit is gone. For those of us who have failed so many times, we need some help. If it's easy, that's good. Does that mean you won't work? No, it doesn't mean that. You're still going to work. If it's easy, that means that more of us are going to be able to become holy, because we're going to be able to do things which we would have previously thought, or which would have been impossible, because we are so weak. Being weak doesn't disqualify you from getting to heaven. Being weak makes you realize that you need the Lord. This total consecration will make it easier to carry your crosses. But don't feel that you're not doing your job. You are doing your job. And you may end up doing more than if you didn't make your total consecration, because it's going to be easier to do what ordinarily would be very difficult to do. Now, I hope that cleared it up a little bit. I spent a lot of time, but this is a key point. If we need to talk about it more, we will. Don't feel guilty, all right? You're putting in the time. You're spending the effort. You're meditating. You're trying to get close to Our Lady, who's going to bring you close to Jesus. That's what you're trying to do. And in the end, you've got a much better chance of getting to heaven than if you didn't do this. I have no doubt about saying that. You have a much better chance of getting to heaven than if you didn't do this total consecration. Okay, let's go into the material for day 10. Who are you, Immaculate Conception, part 2. So the Holy Spirit is the uncreated Immaculate Conception. We talked about that yesterday. And Mary is the created Immaculate Conception. Why not make it easier and just say that the Holy Spirit is the Immaculate Conception and Mary was immaculately conceived? Again, it's all because of Lourdes. Blame St. Bernadette. In all seriousness, we should thank both St. Bernadette and St. Kolbe profusely, because their fidelity to grace is now opening up for us a glorious truth that undergirds the whole theology of Marian consecration. This truth has to do with the union between the Holy Spirit and Mary. Colby explains this in a passage that is long and difficult. Oh, I bet you're getting scared now, but incredibly rich and deserving of deep reflection. Let's read this passage from St. Maximilian, and then we'll talk a little bit about it. What type of union is this between the Holy Spirit and Mary? It is above all an interior union, a union of her essence with the essence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in her, lives in her. This was true from the first instant of her existence. It was always true, and it will always be true. In what does this life of the Spirit in Mary consist? He himself is uncreated love in her, the love of the Father and of the Son, the love by which God loves himself, the very love of the Most Holy Trinity. He is a fruitful love, a conception. Among creatures made in God's image, the union brought about by married love is the most intimate of all. In a much more precise, more interior, more essential manner, the Holy Spirit lives in the soul of the Immaculata. In the depths of her very being, he makes her fruitful from the very first instant of her existence, all during her life and for all eternity. This eternal immaculate conception, which is the Holy Spirit, produces in an immaculate manner divine life itself in the womb or depths of Mary's soul, making her the Immaculate Conception, the human Immaculate Conception. And the virginal womb of Mary's body is kept sacred for him. There he conceives in time, because everything that is material occurs in time, the human life of the man God. If among human beings the wife takes the name of her husband because she belongs to him, is one with him, becomes equal to him, and is with him the source of new life, with how much greater reason should the name of the Holy Spirit, who is the divine Immaculate Conception, be used as the name of her in which he lives as uncreated love, the principle of life in the whole supernatural order of grace. Now, you might be scratching your head a little bit, and you might want to read this again. You might want to read it over a couple times. And as I told you yesterday, if it's still too complicated, that's okay. Because, look, we're being stretched with some of these theological concepts. We're not all going to understand these things. And that it does not disqualify us from making our total consecration. But just try to get an idea of what's happening here, of some of these concepts, and try to the best of your ability, with the help of the Holy Spirit, remember to ask for his help, try to understand them so we can put them into practice. Let's hear what Father Gately says about that passage we just read from St. Maximilian Kolbe. In light of this remarkable passage, I'd like to make 3 points. First, ponder it again deeply and prayerfully. As you do, keep in mind that these are the parting words of one of the greatest Marian saints of all time, answering the very question to which he dedicated his life and energies. Second, if it seems that Colby has gone a bit overboard with this talk of Mary and her union with the Holy Spirit, don't worry. Pope Paul VI went out of his way to reassure the faithful that Colby's teaching is sound. Third, if you only get one point, now hear this, if you only get one point from this challenging passage, may it be this: Mary is the spouse of the Holy Spirit. In fact, her union with the Holy Spirit is even deeper than what we understand by a spousal relationship. We'll pick up this thread tomorrow. So that's what I would say. If you only get one point out of this, and this is, it'd be an excellent point to take from this, a good takeaway, if you will. Mary is the spouse of the Holy Spirit. I recommend that you maybe read this over again one or two times. Don't go crazy, but just spend a little time pondering as Mary did, as we read in sacred scripture, that Mary pondered the words of the Lord in her heart to try to figure out what was going on in her life. So we will be imitating her by doing this. And also understand that Mary is the spouse of the Holy Spirit, and that her relationship with the Holy Spirit is a spousal relationship, similar to a marriage relationship. Today's prayer, come Holy Spirit living in Mary, unveil for me the meaning of the Immaculate Conception. So we ask the Holy Spirit to help us understand this deep concept of the Immaculate Conception. And if you don't understand it fully, please don't panic. You're going to understand to the extent that the Holy Spirit wants you to understand. Okay, does that sound good? If you have questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. Tomorrow, we'll continue on. We're not done with St. Maximilian. We've got a few days left of his teaching. Tomorrow, the Immaculata always does God's will perfectly. So our Blessed Mother always does God's will because of the fact that she is so closely united with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to learn how, if we stay close to Mary, she'll help us to grow close to her spouse, the Holy Spirit. And if we do that, that's where we begin to fully understand what God wants us to do every day. And we'll also be able to better do the things that he wants us to do, even when in the past we couldn't because we're weak. All right, so that's coming up tomorrow. Let's look at the gospel very quickly today. Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 35. Jesus and his disciples set out for the villages of Caesarea Philippi. Along the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said to him in reply, "You are the Christ." Then he warned them not to tell anybody about him. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed and rise after 3 days. He spoke this openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. At this he turned around and, looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You're thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." He summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it." They are some of the scariest words that you'll find in Scripture. The Lord is telling us, if we wish to follow after him, we have to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. If you really think about that, that's what we're called to do, to be a follower of Christ. We have to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him. And St. Luke 9:23, he adds that we have to pick up our cross daily. Well, to a weakling like me, somebody who sins and loves comfort and fails so many times, I have a history of failing. Anytime something was too tough, I would fail. If I really take these words seriously, I'm going to start to panic big time. And then Jesus even elaborates further on this and says, whoever wishes to save his life, you're going to lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the sake of the gospel will save it. In other words, if you got to get to heaven, if you want to get to heaven, you've got to give up your life. Die to self. You don't have to give up your life necessarily in a literal sense, but figuratively, you've got to give up your life, live for the Lord by taking care of other people, putting other people first. That's very challenging. But look, we have this great secret, a quick, easy, and secure way to being able to do what Jesus just said. We should be very happy about this, especially if we're weak, because this is our answer. Total consecration will enable you to do this. I hope you have a wonderful day. God willing, we'll see you tomorrow night for day 11 of our preparation to total consecration. God bless you. Take care.